Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hope Mindful Compassion podcast. My name is Paul Garrigan. I'm the mindfulness coach here at Hope.
And my name is Greg McGickey. I'm a support worker and fitness guy at Hope.
So you wrote an article for the website last week, wasn't it?
A couple of weeks ago.
A couple of weeks ago, about your experiences with fitness. And I thought it was really, really good, a good example of sort of the importance of fitness. So do you want to tell us a bit about the boot camp? Because that's before you came here, wasn't it?
Yeah. So for the last probably year and a half, I've been doing a boot camp when really it was at the start of my drinking. I knew I needed to change up something, give life a bit of a shake. And a few of my friends actually recommended this boot camp that was SAS style, very intense 40 minutes of exercise. It's actually what the SAS troops have to do to get through. Yeah, I knew it was really hard, so it's something I moved towards.
Were you into fitness as in school and stuff? Were you into fitness? Has that always been a part of your life? Or?
Absolutely. So fitness for me has been a part of my life, my entire life. Fitness for me is my quiet time. It's always been, like soccer on Saturday, for example, was always my one time of the week where I didn't think about anything else. For me, in a way, it was my meditation, and it's always been my stress reliever. It's been my endorphin rush. So it's always been something that I can fall back on when times are hard.
Before you did the boot camp, had you sort of lost your fitness?
In a way, I'd always been extremely fit, but I'd always have one sport going. But for me, the level of where my addiction was at, I needed more fitness. When I was younger,
what age were you? So as the boot camp?
I was 30 years of age, yeah. So I'd always played rugby league, cricket. I'd always have two sports going at least one week. So I was always quite active, but I needed something else. And sport was my – I knew when I play sport, I feel invincible. I was always gifted with natural sporting ability. So it was it's where I felt most comfortable.
Wasn't that enough to sort of stop you from falling into addiction?
Good question. The soccer and things like that, as you get older, there's no training during the week. There's none of that stuff. So Saturday was kind of it. When I actually started drinking heavily, my jogs daily stopped. So I still had that Saturday that I knew that I could get that two hours of peace. But it wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm. You say about a boot camp, are you talking about a place you go to or is it a program?
It's a place we go to. So it's based on the beach where we live. So it always kicks off at 5:30 in the morning and it goes for an hour, including stretching, so 40 minutes intense exercise. But the reason it worked for me is because it's based on a team environment. So if I'm not there, I let the team down. There's nothing I need to do between 5:30 and 6:30 in the morning. There's no excuse I can build when it's in the morning.
What sort of exercise is it?
So it's a series of push-ups, sit-ups, sprints. They mix it up every week. A lot of squats, a lot of animal movements, very body weight orientated, but it keeps you at that level of almost hyperventilation for 40 minutes. So there's no break.
How did you do that the first time?
It was absolutely, for the first 2 to 3 weeks, every session I was questioning what I was doing.
Is there a build-up to it, or do you just go? You have to just go into deep end.
Just deep end. The thing that kept me going is I saw the people that were in this boot camp. I saw them physically and mentally change their lives, and that's what really kept me there. And I had the people that are in this boot camp are very positive people, and 2 weeks, they said, just keep going, keep fighting. And once you get to a certain fitness level, it's like anything. It's like going for a run. But that initial phase of getting fit is always the hardest thing.
What were you doing? Like, so during those first few sessions, like, would you sort of stop early or would you just try to do everything?
It's the ultimate rule in that built boot camp not to stop. So as long as you're trying and you're moving, that's fine. You have the instructors will always come around, and if they see you struggling, they'll talk you through it. So it's like, all right, well, this is your mind right now telling you that you can't do this. Breathe. So they'll tell you to breathe and shock it out of you and focus. And once they actually do that to you, you can do it. Your body can do anything, but your mind gets in the way. And that's what this boot camp support has too, because it has people talking you through it, especially when times get tough. And that's why I'm really passionate about boot camp and recovery.
Do you think that approach is going to work for everyone? Or is there something to be said by the slowly does it, slowly and surely does it?
It's not going to work for everyone. It works for certain people. I have always had a high drive, never sort of give up attitude. I know the few people that have embraced boot camp here at Hope, they've done really well. For a couple of reasons in my mind is it really increases your ability to be with pain. Because for the 35-minute session that I do here, people are out of their comfort zone. That's really hard. And I talk them through it and I run them through it and explain what it's doing to them at the time, because that's what was taught to me. It also builds their physical appearance. They start looking better and they actually start getting self-esteem. And self-esteem also, once you have that and people are commenting about how good you look, you actually want to work on the inside stuff, which is the stuff that actually is all the things that we've been holding on to for our life. We actually want to start looking within, because outside's looking good, my head's clear, and I'm doing this boot camp, and it actually makes me feel amazing after I do it.
So we do it here at Hope. Would you sort of say, to say people who are still sort of caught up in addiction, would you say, you know, if you're not prepared to stop yet, at least do that?
Absolutely. For me, I tried everything. I tried everything up until I went to this boot camp. This boot camp...
Were you thinking about stopping, quitting drugs down at that stage, or?
That's when I started to get better.
But did you sort of go to the boot camp with the idea, oh, this will help me stop, or was that even part of the?
My mindset was I needed to be around really strong and enthusiastic people, and I knew I needed to shake it up. And this, to me, was from what I've seen and to what I was doing, felt like I was breaking the shackles of my addiction. The lengths that you go to in terms of mental strength is something that I've never gone to before. And I knew it was good for me to actually persist and try and get through to this fitness level.
Did you go to ultramarathons? Was that after that?
That was the next step. So ultramarathon, when I left my first rehab, I'd been doing boot camp. I was extremely fit. But I knew I needed to go to the next level. So the people that I was doing boot camp with said, we're doing an ultra marathon. It's Australia's toughest marathon. Let's give it a shot. For me, coming out of rehab, I needed a focus. I needed something that will keep me going in between meetings and work. So this was it. So I got up at 4 o'clock every morning, and we ran up and down hills for 3 hours. And hills really steep, similar to Hope Hill. 3 hours of running up and down stairs builds this capacity within your head that when times get tough, your body's not going to stop. It's always going to keep going. And you draw strength from it. That's a big thing for me. Like all the experience that I've had with boot camp.
How long did you train for before you actually did the ultramarathon?
4 months to prepare for that. So that was,
Did you not do a marathon first?
I'd never done a half marathon or a marathon. I discussed it with my brother, who is a franchise owner of this boot camp, and originally just went to the boot camp before he opened up the business. And I said to him, I just want to do a marathon. He said, no, we're going to do something big. And I originally intrigued me because I was like, all right, well, I knew I had to do something that I'd never done before. And he said, well, us four, we're doing this. You should do it with us. And I said yes initially, not even thinking about it. But once the training started, and it really was like, wow, I'm doing this. It also gave me a really good motivation to not drink. I mean, I was still drinking little bits while I was doing this training, but I couldn't drink a lot because I had to train the next morning. Mm-hmm. So I slowly, slowly shifted my focus from my obsession with alcohol to doing something that I've never done before.
What was it actually like, the race?
It was unbelievable. It was the start line. I remember, I'll never forget it. I was there. It was overwhelming at the start because I'm like, I'm actually doing this. Like, it was quite a dream sort of leading up to it. I've done all the hard work. So there was 300 people that entered the race, 150 finished, which was us, including us, thank God.
How long was it?
It's 13 hours.
How many?
5 kilometres over 5 mountains.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's 2 kilometres about 75 k's flat, to give you an idea that it's straight up and down. So, yeah, I mean, the first 50 k's was actually quite smooth. It was okay because I'd done the work. I knew I'd done the work. But it's just sort of when you're getting to that 60 k mark where actually downhills were better than worse than uphills. Every step was like a knife going into your thigh. So it was just a lot of pain and a lot of perseverance that stuck through.
Were you worried you were doing some permanent damage?
No, I wasn't. I was more worried for my brother. He had a knee injury prior to the race, but he knew how important it was for me to do it, so he did it. At about the 50k mark, his knee was really bad and wanted to stop. And I just said to him, look, mate, this is my journey. I'll keep going. So I did. And then probably half an hour later, he showed up behind me and kept going, which was huge for me and something I cannot repay to him, because he was the reason I did it and he knew that it'd rock me out of it. So we finished that together after 17 hours, which is... I can't describe it. I was a little bit, but very emotional when I finished it, because the most important thing for me was, for a first time in a long time, I'd actually done something that I said I was going to do, which is something I couldn't say I did in addiction. So that was the most overwhelming thing for me, really.
The next day?
Oh, so sore. I mean, the funniest thing, all of us getting out of the car, actually trying to get to a cafe, we're all shuffling like... And it was in a small town, so everyone was in the same boat, but actually just shuffling to a cafe, couldn't even walk straight. Like, such a... You didn't think about the pain because you're still on such a high of, we've finished this event that is a seated event. People come all over the world to do it, and we're just people from boot camp that finished this thing. Even the organisers were just blown away that we finished it. So, yeah, it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about what I can do.
Sorry? Did you do it again?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Want to do it again?
Not anytime soon, but it's definitely something I'd do and recommend to help someone through a process that I did. So I'd like to take someone through that process one day, because I know what it's done for me in terms of proving to yourself that you can do anything. That's what I got out of it. Like that, the whole hold that addiction had on me really released when I finished that race.
How long was that before you came here?
That race was in April, so I was here in June.
Yeah. And did you really feel that after that? Had you planned to come here before?
No. So I got back into the corporate world, which is insane to me now. It's because it's something that I've just been drawn back into because of money, because of ego, because of a lot of things, because of what comes with a corporate decent role. In Saturday years, I relapsed again just before I came out here, and I knew that I needed to come here and work not on my mental strength, because I had that, but actually quietening down my head and actually for once truly face my inner demons and what's actually causing my addiction. Yeah.
And so since you've been here, like, especially since you became a volunteer and stuff, like, so you've been doing fitness here. So how has the sort of all of that training, the training you got, is that what you use here?
Absolutely, because I mean I'm really passionate about boot camps in rehab, because it really shakes people out of their comfort zone, and comfort zone is what keeps us in addiction. People that get up early and do these boot camps do really well. It's the people that isolate in their room and don't get out of the comfort zone don't do well. So what this does is it also complements mindfulness very well, because I can
understand the sort of the what's going on, the person that doesn't want to do, just doesn't.
Absolutely, because I've been there. I've resisted it. I stopped making excuses. I was letting other people down. So it wasn't about me anymore. It was about letting others down, which actually drove me to do it. I've been there when the alarm goes off, all the excuses come in the world, and I have a new attitude now in my life. If I think about it, I do it. And that stops all my negative self-talk. It stops the procrastination. It's just all that internalizing goes away. If you think about it, do it. And that's something I learned going through this process, because comfort zone will kill you.
Yeah. We were talking, remember we had this conversation before, we were sort of saying about the similarities between, you know, the sort of the physical and the mindful compassion. And so you've become very, very good at dealing with physical pain, and that the mindfulness teaches us how to be with emotional pain and other sort of mental pain, and that the process is actually very, very similar. It's just leaning into it.
Yeah, I'll explain. The biggest thing for me coming here, I knew mindfulness was one of my key drivers because I needed to slow down my head. Why I found it easy to relate, not to get by any stretch, but why I found it easier to relate is because I taught myself to be with physical pain. And I knew that, you know, you can absorb so much of that.
So the idea of leaning into the pain makes sense to you?
Absolutely. I mean, because that's what I did. I mean, you know, 10 hours into a marathon, all your head's telling you to do is stop. Why are you doing this? But for another 7 hours, you soldier on. And you don't listen to those voices in your head. You get on and do it. So,
is it a case of ignoring the pain or actually really?
No, it's very similar to the mindfulness concept. I mean, you lean into it because after a while, as soon as you notice that your legs feel like there's knives going in them, and you concentrate on your thighs and concentrate on loosening your shoulders and shortening your steps, all these things that will help you, you forget about it for an hour. Comes back. But you do the same thing. You loosen your shoulders, you shorten your steps, pain goes away. So it's a constant battle. And that's kind of what I took from it and related to mindfulness because it helped me understand it. Not get it quickly, I still not have resistance to it because I know it works and what I've got out of it, but I knew it could work for me because of what I'd been through physically. So it was a lot easier for me to relate to, and I believed it worked because I proved it to myself.
What would you say to sort of somebody, okay, they're coming here, they're in really bad physical shape. They might be worried that if they started doing exercise, they would get really sick. What would you say to that type of person that they're looking at really, really out of shape?
I'd always suggest, and I still do it to this day, I suggest you start doing yoga. It's a good introduction to fitness. It's quite easy on the body. It's stretching. There's still a workout, but it'll give you a confidence level, a little stepping stone to get into boot camp. I mean, I've seen people in, one of our support worker today, Jordan, he's lost 14 kilos doing these boot camps, and he loves it every time we do it. He went from hating it to loving it, and it's helped him along the way journey. Like Kyle, another client that was here, he lost 10 kilos doing these boot camps. So it's just that level of commitment. I know it works, but for someone, to answer your question again, that is resistance to this exercise, buy size pieces, do yoga, and then once you feel comfortable, get into something a bit more intense like boot camp. But I can't expect you. You do. It's important because you'll never get to push yourself. Mm-hmm. Half the reason you're here is because you've never pushed yourself. You're in your comfort zone. So absolutely. I mean, yoga is very, for someone that hasn't done exercise for a while, it's a great entry level. You've got Alon or myself doing yoga, which will talk you through it, even when it gets tough. So after my yoga sessions and the lawn sessions, we always do a core or something that is difficult. So,
but do you ever get sessions where you do give up?
Not me. Not here because I need to lead from the front. But certainly back home in a boot camp session, I've thrown my toys out of the cot. It happens.
If you're exercising on your own, you say, I'm going to do this for an hour. Do you ever...
Oh, classic. Classic, go to the gym. When I've been to the gym for years and I'll go and I do a half-ass workout and I think I'm enjoying the job and then I'll go home and, you know, feel good about myself. But I've never actually pushed myself. It wasn't to go into these boot camps where I realised what exercise is. It's not just sitting there pushing weights and just sort of not getting your heart rate to a certain level.
Is it true that no pain, no gain? Is that true?
100% true. I mean, your heart needs to be at a certain beats per minute to actually burn fat. So now 120 beats per minute. If you're never lifting your heart rate to that certain time, and they say to release endorphins, you need to have your heart rate at 120 for 25 minutes at least to release endorphins in your head. So for you to actually benefit out of exercise, you need to have that level of uncomfort for at least 25 minutes.
So Okay, you see people come here, they do the boot camp, and then they go home. Like, it's going to be a lot of people say, I'm not going to be doing ultramarathons or boot camps every day. I mean, do people need to be doing that much to benefit?
Certainly not. I mean, that was something that I did, and I'd always had a desire to do a marathon of some description. But no, I mean, you need to do exercise to a level that really pushes you. I mean, for the easiest way to explain it, for me, was I know I'm really exercising when I'm just before hyperventilating.
You do it every day?
I don't have to do it every day, but you do it 3 or 4 times a week. Especially in addition, it's really important if you can't meditate or use your tools to get you out of a very negative situation, you would always go to the physical, which is exercise. And that's go for a walk, that's go for a run, to whatever level you're at. Some people are impaired physically and they can only do weights, or they can only walk, or they can only do yoga. I mean, anything that gets you out of that headspace. I mean, for example, I had it yesterday. I was chatting with you this morning. I was sort of really tired, sort of a bit overworked. And I, the only thing I could do, I tried meditation and all this stuff, but I still couldn't control some thoughts. So I had to go for a run. And I know that's my fallback. Like, if I ever get into that stage, I need to go for a run and clear my head, because I know that works, because I've done that before. And that's the key for me. Like, it's the same when you're doing mindfulness. Like, when anxiety builds up, what do? You focus on the physical. It's the same concept for me. But I've always found my way through fitness.
Last question. Would you recommend people joining a gym?
To do anything else? Good question. Yes. But gyms personally didn't work for me, because I'm left up to my own device. I joined a group of people that I knew would push me and support me more.
Where are people going to find? I mean, you're quite lucky to have that boot camp there. I mean, where are other people going to find that?
There's boot camps, there's gyms all over the world that are doing this group style exercise now because they know it works. When you're left to your own device, it's the same with addiction. You're only going to do enough, if not nothing. So my suggestion to anyone that wants to do it, get in a group, get socializing, do your exercise with people, be accountable to what you're doing. Because I know if I didn't show up for a certain session, I'm letting my friends down, because the sessions are designed on numbers and certain people. So I had the accountability to be there for them, which took all the self-obsession off me going to the gym. I had to be there for them. So I suggest any fitness that you do, make it social, whether it be soccer, basketball, anything that you can interact with people, but at the same time have that accountability to do it. Because if you don't have that accountability to do it, unfortunately some people just don't do it.
Yeah. That makes sense. I've enjoyed this. Thanks for your wisdom, Grant. And we'll have you on here again, I think.
Yeah.